to the general meeting for this.
So, I know we should start at 6:30 p.m. but I am aware of some people who might be running a little late, so we'll give it 2 more minutes and then we'll start. Yes, everyone's more than welcome to tea, of course. It's essential. Good evening, councillors, and welcome to this meeting of the Health and Wellbeing Scrutiny on Tuesday, 12th of December 2023. May I also welcome Louise, who's on Zoom, and also Councillor Allen, who's in the stead of Councillor Peters, who has given his apologies. Have we received any other apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chair. We've received apologies from Councillor Legg and Councillor Smith.
Thank you. So that goes on to item number 2. Do have any councillors have a declaration of interest to declare on the items under discussion at this evening's meeting? No, I can't see anyone, no. Okay, so that's item 3, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. Do we have any? We don't. So that's all good. Questions from the public, number 4. Have we received any other questions from the public? We haven't. Item number 5, question from members of the committee. We've not received any questions from the members of the committee. We'll go on to a question. Item number 6, the public minutes for the previous meeting on the 12th of September 2023. I propose the approval of the public minutes from that previous meeting. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Wellman. Okay, so we'll now go to the vote. All those in favour? Any against? Any abstentions? One abstention. That has been carried. Item number 7, the Health Scrutiny Code Joint Working. Members will be aware that the Health Scrutiny Code of Joint Working was adopted by the Council on the 25th of September 2023. It has been enclosed number 2. I hope you've had a little look at that. Just to be noted. Okay, so item number 8, the Scrutiny Review Programme. So, reviewing suicide rates and exercise provision. Can I call on Mike to give us an update, please?
So the two subcommittees have agreed a scoping paper. The group that is looking into suicide rates have agreed to look at the prevalence of suicide rates within East Staffordshire. There's 3 core questions as a result. So what are the current and past suicide rates in East Staffordshire, and have any contributory factors been identified, particularly recreational drugs, and what are the demographics of those that have committed suicide? What support services are available for those having suicidal thoughts? and how do we SBC train officers in suicide prevention, and can the council, what can the council do to promote positive mental health within East Staffordshire communities. So as part of kickstarting that scrutiny paper, I have reached out to colleagues in the county council for asking some information around suicide rates within the borough, and wait for those to come back to us. And I've also asked internally with three internal departments, Revs and Bens, Housing Options and our human resources teams, who, what we do in terms of training frontline officers and also our own officers internally, what support that they can provide. I'll provide the group with an update, and we'll have another subgroup meeting in January to follow up on that, Chair.
Are there any questions on the review of suicide rates? No. The exercise provision, can you give us an update, Mike?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, again. So three questions, well, actually four questions with this group we've managed to come up with. So the idea is to look at the level of provision for exercise provision for young people in the category of 12 to 18, rather than really small children or indeed young adults above that 18 years of age. So the questions that are being posed as part of this core review are, what is the current state of health for the young people of East Staffordshire, and what are the levels of obesity or prevalence of any health conditions such as diabetes amongst, and particularly amongst different communities? What are the current opportunities for exercise? What current opportunities for exercise exist for young people? That, and we've couched that either via Everyone Active or in the voluntary sector, and what does Everyone Active do to promote the voluntary sector opportunities? What exercise options would young people like to see provided in East Staffordshire? How does East Staffordshire Council engage with young people? And how does the provision compare with those provided by other local authorities? As part of this, we have set up a meeting with Everyone Active on the 9th of January next year. So that will be at 6:30, and Everyone Active will be able to provide updates as to their provision in connection to this topic, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions on exercise provision? No. Lovely. Can I welcome Councillor Atkins to the meeting? Okay. No problem. So, item number 9, dog waste dispensers. Can I have an update from Mike, please? Thank you, Mike. Have we got any questions on that at all? Councillor Holton.
Thanks, Chair. Do we know the areas, the recent bout of vandalism? Can you specify the areas at all? Are you just a fan? Can you get back to me on that, Mike? Yeah. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Warman.
Thanks, Mike. Obviously, you know, there is vandalism, quite clearly. I think that goes with on lots of different things as well. Still quite saddened, if I'm honest, regarding people just taking the bags, but I can't believe that people would be crazy enough, genuinely, to actually put used bags in there. I mean, there are enough other bins for dogs, dog waste out there, isn't there? I'm sure that is the case, because I've seen them as well myself. Our officers, enforcement officers, are they getting any abuse or anything if they go out? I know you just said to me that, you just said to us rather, that actually it's, you know, enforcement is few and far between, really. That's what you've just said, really, isn't it? Or low, very low is what you said. When they are going to try and approach people, do they get abuse or anything like that?
With any face-to-face enforcement, there is the potential for abuse. I have seen it and heard it from officers before where they've had abusive interactions from members of the public towards them. It's not uncommon. The officers do have video, body-worn video devices, so if there are any accusations made against the officer, or indeed if the officer has felt particularly threatened or has been on the end of that abuse, then managers can review that and have a look at what can be done. Obviously, we've got our VATB procedures, a bit more difficult out in the field because we don't necessarily know those individuals' details, but they are protected with both that body-worn device and actually this, which is your lone working device that we have, which can get a blue light response. Set correctly. There are systems in place to protect them. Unfortunately, we can't completely eradicate any verbal abuse or any other form of abuse that they might be that might affect them while out on some patrol.
Thank you, Mike. Can you as well supply us with the information, or myself in particular, well, the whole group, I suppose, with the information that Monica has just mentioned? Sorry, Councillor Holton, should I say.
Thank you. Any more questions? Councillor Beach.
Chair, just to follow up, the vandalism that occurred, I assume it's now been dealt with and those have been replaced?
Yes, with any vandalism, we'll get them reinstated.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any more questions? Councillor Allen.
Thanks for that. So, you mentioned in the presentation that the contractors are filling them up. How certain are you that they're doing it as quite as often as they're saying they're doing it? Because it seems it's 40,000 bags. That's a lot of bags that are disappearing. And I know my experience with these dog food dispensers are that every time I've seen one, I've never seen one full at all. So, how certain are you that it's being done?
Yeah, it's really difficult to track. They have been issued a contract default in the early days of this project pilot for not filling them up. We have to keep on top of them and continue to monitor them. Unfortunately, we can't be there all of the time to check it. As the figures show, that they have been putting the bags out, so unless those bags are going somewhere else, they are filling them up. I think we need members of the public to keep us informed when they've been out and they see them empty, so we can narrow down those times. When they were issued a contract default previously, it was because the members of the public had given us that information that narrowed the times down for when the dispenser should have been filled up and when it was empty, so we were able to narrow and focus that time down. So the intelligence that people are able to provide will really help to clarify the situation in terms of the contractor filling up. So I can't be 100% sure. I know they've not done it in the past, but we've been on them for that. But we still need people to keep their a watch on that for us.
Okay, so when we renewed the contract, or in the run-up to renew the contract, we were quite concerned that any contractor that we were potentially going to employ wasn't going to, well, from my perspective, the grounds maintenance has been some significant problems with grass cutting or various different things in different parts of the borough over a period of time. So when we renewed, in the run-up to renewing that contract, I seem to recall, and I don't remember what the system was called, an ask of when a piece of work has been completed and done, that the contractors would take a picture of it and that had been audited by the contract holders, i.e. ESBC. So is that happening or is that not happened at all? It's a general point for all the pieces, but in particular reference to the dog poo dispensers.
Yeah, SMS system is working. The officers can review and interrogate that system. So if ID Birdie, if something comes in particularly that we think that hasn't been done, they can review the SMS system. We will email them if there's any sign of a fault or something that's been missed. And we have the rectification and default system that the officers can issue to ID Birdie to make sure it's either corrective action or to put right.
That just seems like a pretty obvious answer to the first question, which was how certain are we that they're being refilled? That's why I just asked that follow-up, because I thought is it possible to find out or to understand that audit information that's there, that load of pictures of dog food dispensers being filled? If we was to ask you that, is that available, or is there another reason why that wouldn't be available?
It would be something I need to check the record, but it wouldn't be something we'd automatically, because we know the level that members of the public are taking these out, we wouldn't necessarily, as part of identifying a performance issue with the contractors, know that immediately through SMS. It would be something that we'd have to question ID Verdi on to see when those dispensers were emptied and filled and when they were emptied.
Councillor Wellman.
I'm just following on from what Councillor Wellman has just said. So, Mike, can you as a, obviously it's in your role for what you do, can you keep an eye on that then and supply us with when things are, i.e., because that's I know that in certainly in my area in Brisbane and Cope, quite a few times I've seen them empty as well, just like I think everyone has. So I'd be really interested to know what their schedule is about filling them up, because there must be like we have people emptying the bins usually on a certain day or a week in, week off, and then a week. You know what I'm saying? There is a certain schedule that they must link into, because otherwise, how would they know possibly that that bin's empty? They've got to go round when they cut the grass, for instance, when they're in Brislingcote. I'm just using that as an example. Do they go round checking those bins as well? Is it our open spaces, or does that belong to, it is open spaces, isn't it? Obviously, I know it is now. So yeah, sorry, Mike.
Not without going to the mechanics of the contract, different team for ID Verdi, but I think that's a really good suggestion. If we can share that schedule so you as councillors know when your dispensers are being filled, certainly make sure you're aware of it. Yeah, we can do that.
Councillor,
I accept it doesn't answer all of the problem. It just, every time I've seen a dog bag dispenser, they're empty. And so if half of the problem is that we're concerned that they're not even being filled, presumably that fairly simple audit system eliminates that concern that they're not, that the contracts are or are not doing the job properly. So, but I accept it doesn't answer all of the problem, because then you've got a problem with the first person that comes along, grabs all the bags that are in there, which is entirely possible. And I have to disagree slightly with Councillor Wyman when he says I'm so very surprised that people are using them to put dog fowl in, because if you go to Dimmesdale or any nature walk, you'll find a tree dog fowl just hung on branches. So people are pretty daft when it comes to this kind of stuff, really. So with on the broader topic of dog fowl generally and the problems that there are, is there a schedule of, it's a more simpler question, how many patrols are being undertaken? Is there like a schedule of that, or I would expect you to answer this on the spot, Mike, of course, but it would be useful to know if there's a schedule that is expected and whether that's being kept to or not.
Yeah, the civil enforcement team have a patrol rota, which I believe is kind of grouped wards. It's probably better if we take that separately, maybe as another meeting to go through how the community and civil enforcement team are deployed to deal with enforcement, dog fouling, littering, etc. So you'd understand the rota and how the different teams operate, different officers operate.
Thank you, Mike. Any other questions? Councillor Beach.
Not a question, perhaps a suggestion. Would mobile CCTV that we already have be an option in monitoring our own dispensers if we're experiencing vandalism, if we are having difficulty with misuse of council property, frankly? Is mobile CCTV an option in these areas, at least, as deterrent, as evidence, as enforcement?
I can't speak for our mobile CCTV in terms of the resources that are available. I do know that they are stretched to tackle antisocial behaviour and flight appearance. So deploying that resource potentially to look at the dispensers and dog fouling might not be possible. So I probably have to caveat everything I'm saying. I don't know the capacity that we've got within our mobile CCTV team to be able to do that and tackle flight tipping and to deal with the antisocial behaviour elements as well.
Thank you. Any more questions? Nope. Okay. I have a question about used bags being deposited in dispensers. Is this an issue with some dog bins being too far away from dispensers, or?
I think Councillor Allen probably covered it with people have some very strange habits when they're walking their dogs. It's not unusual to see bags of dog poo hanging off trees or in people's hedges. What is going through those people's minds, why they can't take it home or find the nearest dog poo bin, I don't know, but it's not unusual to see that in various locations.
Thank you. Oh, sorry, Councillor Wellman.
Just as a point as well, we do get that sort of, I know you know this, Mike, anyway, but we get this all the time as well. It's the same with rubbish, isn't it? Where they see a bin that's full, and you know, people see a bin that's full, and then they instead of taking it to the next bin, they will then pile it on, so it's all around the bin. You know, people are strange in that way.
Thank you. There was another thing I was going to ask. Councillor Allen and Councillor Wellman's alluded to, is there a possibility to ask if there is a rota for that? And if there isn't, is it okay for them to produce one? Because we've had concerns from residents about this.
I think Councillor Wellman's suggestion of sharing their schedule with councillors so they're aware of the dispensers on their ward areas are filled up is a really useful one, so we can get that from ICBD.
Thank you. I'll move on. Number 9. So number 10, Quarter 2 Performance Reports 2023 and 2024. And I invite Mike again to provide a performance report for Quarter 2.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So of the targets in the corporate plan, there's 132 targets. 114 of these are green status, 2 amber, 5 red, and 9 are not yet to be reported on. 2 are proposed for deletion. Of the 121 live targets, 94.21% are green, 1.65 are amber, and 4.13 are red. And happy to take back any questions on the report, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. Please note that Appendix 2 and 3 will be considered in the part of the meeting. So if councillors have any points to discuss just about those sections, please raise them at the end of the meeting. So are there any questions? Councillor Allen.
CRO 01, licence enforcement activity, CCTV, complete rollout and installation of fixed CCTV cameras July 2023. I think, without looking, I think this one failed or was delayed last year as well. I recall it being a problem with some communication issue between the new cameras that had been installed, cost an awful lot of money, much better CCTV. I remember trialling one of the units, very, very good. Entirely useless if we can't communicate with them and use that footage. How much longer? It gives you a bit of an update there in terms of what the problems are and where they are. Which isn't altogether too useful, given it's a public document. People now know which CCTV cameras aren't working. It gives you an update of which ones are working and which ones aren't, but it doesn't say when we can expect them to be operational.
Mike?
I can't answer that directly, but I can take it back for you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Wellman.
Tell me, Chair, whether this is going to be in the next section then or not. It's just that RAD 05, Washlands Visitor Centre, quite disappointed that we're now going to, was it pre-application advice? Application was submitted earlier in the year. A full application has been held back on account of changes to the approach to High Street, the High Street project being considered and subsequently approved by Council in September. It's off target, I understand that, the reason for that now. But what I'm, and then I look down and I notice that obviously the construction of the visitor centre, subject to planning, is got ready for deletion. So what is it? Are we having the visitor centre or are we not? As can you find that out for me, Chair, please? Or Mike, can you find that out for me? Sorry. Because personally, as a health and wellbeing, I just think it's important, very important, that building is done. Now, whether or how it's done is up for debate, I understand that. But I just think we do need to continue with working with Staffordshire Wildlife that were originally there for, you know, to help do the installation and so on. And then I find out that, you know, is it going to happen or is it not? And I think I don't like the way it's off target. I'd like to see it still on target. I apologise for going on. There was another one as well, the brew house roof. As well, that's off target. Is that going to happen or not? Sorry for being taking so long.
No problem. Mike, can you? Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Beach.
I'm sure I've read somewhere in a member briefing about a closure of one of the waste, I say closure, temporary closure of one of the waste facilities, the depots, for maintenance works or refurbishment works. Have I misread that? Is that relevant to the ECC 1920 being at risk of being off target? Are they related?
Mike, I think we need to take that back as well, don't we, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've read in a member briefing somewhere about one of the sites will have to be temporarily closed for, I don't know, safety refurbishment or some sort of upgrade works to where we store the lorries, etc.
Thank you. Any other questions? No, I'll move on. So item 11, the Staffordshire County Council Health and care overview and scrutiny committee update. I invite Councillor Holton and County Councillor Philip Atkins to provide an update on the work of the County Staffordshire County Council Health and Overview Scrutiny Committee.
Always love this bit, Chairman. we've had four meetings, I think, since I last was down here. I don't think Monica was at any of, well, it's three of them anyway. The first one in October was about workforce matters, particularly with the Staffordshire Stoke-on-Trent Integrated Care Board and also adult care. So there was a lot of, it'll be in the minutes, a lot of talk about training, the numbers of people and recruitment. And there was also an item on that agenda about the freedom to speak up, which is whistleblowing. So there was an in-depth conversation about that. There was one about the 17th of November. We had them all quick together, actually, beginning of November, up in Newcastle, about Wally's Quarry. So the lack of, Environment Agency didn't turn up at the meeting, which was sad, because they're the ones who've got the power to regulate the tip. But just for interest, none of their hydrogen sulfide detectors have been working properly for the last 4 years on any site in the UK. They hadn't been calibrated properly. Apparently, they hadn't been able to get hold of the hydrogen sulfide gas to calibrate it with properly. So they've got a problem with them all. And they've been under-reading the levels of hydrogen sulfide. So we questioned why they weren't there, but they don't turn up at scrutiny meetings, and they seem to be a law unto themselves. So we leave it at that. So we are pursuing that, and we've written to ministers and the MP, the local MPs onto it as well. The next meeting, which was the usual 2 hours, was West Midlands Ambulance Service. So we gave them a thorough scrutiny of what they were doing, the call out times and everything else, their issues, their problems with the people who were using 999 as the first port of call rather than doing what, you know, going to other places. And just bear in mind that if an ambulance is going to somebody who really doesn't need it, it just takes them away from somebody who does. So there was a good understanding of where they are, and further reports to come back. We're grateful that they turned up. And I said, with all these things, I always refer members to go and have a look at the minutes, because then, you know, there's an awful lot going on in the meeting, and I might misquote myself. And then the last meeting that we had, I missed the very first bit of the meeting, which was on maternity and neonatal services. And you will have seen in the press one or two items about some of the local hospitals. And staff had been an outreach to Stoke-on-Trent, and I think the issue is that they encourage people to go to the main hospitals, because the percentage of people who are having home births or having them in the smaller hospitals, if they have any complications, they have to go to the main hospital, which involves an ambulance journey yet again, and there's some issues. So there's a lot of discussion and thought about that. In particular, it is obviously a very distressing for the people involved, the mothers and the fathers. The next part of the meeting was the performance and finance overview of the Integrated Care Board, which the performance and financial review overview, which is a really quite an intense subject. But what we did say was that it is going to be a very trying and tight time for them as we head into winter. There's a lot of because of that, there's a lot of emphasis and focus on today. But the other major part of the performance overview is keeping people out of the clutches of the NHS. And that is of interest to district, borough and county councils and public health. So they had one slide which should have been blown up, but it's as ever, and I mentioned it at the ambulance service as well, is the shift to the left, where nobody thinks about how they're going to die, but there is the hospice on the right hand side and the hospital. And then as you come back, you know, if you're in hospital, really good stuff on the accident, community hospital, rehabilitation, get you back into the society. But then as you come further back, there's things about vaccinations, preventative measures, then lifestyle and where you live. So housing's quite an important part of it as well. So they've got the problem today, but the Integrated Care Board are well on to the fact of working together. But there is this shift to the left and the work that, you know, you might sit here and think that parks aren't that important, but if people can go and walk in a park, keep themselves active, keep the cardiovascular bit going, it does keep them out of hospital, filling up a bed, being unable and perhaps ending up in a residential care home before they plan the next bit. So there's a bit about keeping people at home as well, which is a district borough council and housing association responsibility. So there's quite a bit about that, but while they've got these problems and the pressures, I thought, listening in to the meeting, and I did remark at the meeting, is it does distract them from the longer term. So if you take it short, medium, long term, the districts and boroughs have got a really big part to play in the long and medium term health of the of our citizens. And that's my report, Chairman. I don't think we've got another meeting, thank goodness, until about January. We've had that many in the space of 5 weeks. It was getting a bit much.
Thank you, Councillor.
They're all 2.5 to 3 hour meetings, so don't think we had 10 minutes on a subject. We'll have had an hour and a half.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Atkins. Councillor Holton.
Thank you. Can I just inform Councillor Atkins, whilst I've not been there in person...
You've been watching on the screen.
Indeed I have. Thank you to the team at County for providing me with that webcast and summaries of each meeting. Chair, as was noted and mentioned as Chair of one of the scoping papers with suicide, I've been focusing on doing a piece of work within East Staffordshire, particularly in Burton, around that. And as Councillor Atkins has mentioned, just to encourage members of this committee to read the strategy, to go on and access the summaries and the webcast, as everybody is able to do. But particular attention, really, drawing back on the strategy, the Good Mental Health in Staffordshire Strategy 23 to 28, scrutinising which they are doing the draft action plan and the outcomes there. There are six outcomes, which I'd like to just read very quickly. Everyone can look after their own mental well-being and find support in the communities when they need it. This is their outcomes. This is what when needed. Response to crisis. There is need for access to support, improve mental well-being, and manage mental health problems. People with severe mental health problems are supported to live in the community and have good quality integrated care. And the final one, more integration, good quality services for young people that focus on achieving independence and adulthood. And that was one particular new action that was highlighted, the integration, the transition from youth to adulthood. I will submit my findings as suggested by officers in previous meetings at the next meeting via report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Holton, and look forward to your report. Any questions on them to Councillor Wyman?
Thank you, Chair. Just a question for Councillor Atkins. Just Environment Agency not having, what did you call it, the their monitors set correctly?
Yeah, the hydrogen source.
Yeah. I have seen a little bit about this. I can't quite believe that they, you know, they didn't actually come, or a member of their organisation didn't come to your scrutiny committee. The fact that they actually, you know, they were telling people that it was safe, from what I believe, and yet it clearly isn't. You know, so what is the process now regarding that? Have they been fixed? I think that's the
obvious. Oh yeah, the sensors have been recalibrated, and they're reading four times higher than they were before. This isn't just a Wallace Quarry issue, it's everywhere. They do not attend scrutiny meetings. They are scrutinised by Parliament, not by Health and Scrutiny. So there's a little bit of an issue about that. It was about the quality of the hydrogen sulphide gas that they calibrate their machines against. But there's four sites, and there's also quite a bit about the I've got to remember the word now, but it's about the atmosphere and cold weather and winds, so that it means that it's not an exact science to say that it's just five parts per milligram or whatever. It will concentrate in lower parts in cold weather more than warm and on higher ground. It's quite a complex subject. And the other bit that came out about that was the Environment Agency. It was a long meeting actually. And because of that, I raised the question yet again about why the health and safety executive weren't involved, because these monitors are placed some distance from the tip and the active parts of the tip, whereas the workers are right there and then. So I was asking the question, do they wear protective clothing? Have they got a mask on or filters or what have they got? You know, why aren't health and safety executive there? So that, I think that was one of the half dozen actions that they were taking on. So it's quite a complex subject.
Thank you. Yeah, carry on.
Just one. The Environment Agency, did they, the contractors that run i.e. Wally's Quarry, let's just use that one as the example. Other ones, other quarries or sites at tips, yeah, let's just, yeah, okay, other tips. Have they been being run okay, as in monitored all right?
Yes, they have been run okay. The other problem is that there's a criminal investigation, and besides the monitoring investigation going on, they have a record of past actions. What is believed to be the issue is that you put if you put plasterboard in a tip in a disposal site and it gets exposed to organic matter, you then get hydrogen sulphide. So that the work that the Environment Agency have agreed with the site operators is that the material should be buried and then it has to be capped with a suitable material to stop the gas escaping. Because you can't dig it out, you'd be having to dig out hundreds of thousands of tonnes, and then you've got the risk of the hydrogen sulphide escaping. So there's a matter about the remedial actions, and that there should be no further contamination of the material in the tip. In the meantime, you know, if you live in a house and you've got seals around the windows and you can still smell the stuff, and if anybody listening doesn't know what hydrogen sulphide is, it's rotten eggs.
Thank you, Councillor Atkins. Any other questions? No. Thank you very much for that report. I'll go on to item 12, public executive decision records, which is in enclosure number 4. These are a list of public executive decisions have been circulated. Does anyone have any questions on these? No? Okay. We'll go on to item 13 then, the date of the next meeting. Okay, so the date of the next meeting will be 19th of March 2024. Right in the new year, so thank you very much for that. We now have 3 items on the agenda to consider that we go to private. Councillor Beach.
Sorry, I was supposed to ask at item 8. But I thought there was perhaps any other business or a forward plan item, and there isn't.
Carry on.
Could I make a proposal for an item going forwards to be looking at to scrutinise? Is that permitted at this point?
I'd suggest write to me, and then we, you know, when we've done these scrutiny items, then we can go on to that scrutiny item. Okay.
Yep. No problem.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yes, so we'll go back to, we have 3 items to consider in private, so then I will move that in accordance with Section 100A, Part 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it's likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, there will be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item on the agenda. So this is one of the things that is we're going to, we need to vote to put this into private. So do I have a seconder? Councillor Allen. We'll now go to the vote. All those in favour of going to private minutes? Any against? Any abstentions? Yeah, we have the majority there. Thank you. So there's no public press here, so we'll carry on.